A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Erevin Chav Zayin, Erevin 27A, pagination page 53, but we will start from the bottom of the facing page, the Mishnah, from which we will springboard. So we are on Erevin Chav Vav Amud Beis, 26B at the bottom, page 52. The new perek, titled Bakol Ma'arvin, is referring to different ways that you could cause some ramification based on the location of your food. And the Mishnah mentions, as Rashi explains it, three different applications of this. The Mishnah begins Bakol Ma'arvin u'mishtatfin. Rashi, the inner commentary, which begins right where the Gemara ends on this page, Bakol Ma'arvin. So Rashi tells us we're referring to Eruvei Chatzeros u'techumin, cases of joining the courtyards and relocating your place of Shavisa, of resting for Shabbos, regarding the laws of Tchumen. So let's go in order. We're familiar that in order to join a bunch of houses that are in the same enclosure, even in an apartment building setting where it's totally enclosed, but in order to carry in the hallway, they all have to give a certain amount of food to a collective collection, and then they are joined because a person is able to define his location based on his food. And since a token amount of food was joined, so they're considered joined wherever that food is being held, they're considered joined. Likewise, if a person wants to be able to travel in a certain direction on Shabbos and it's more than 2,000 amos, so for example, he wants to visit a hospital on Shabbos which is out of the Tchum, he can, instead of taking up his dwelling in the place where he resides, he can purposely put a token amount of food in another location outside the city and call that his makom shavisa, his place of resting. And from that location, 2,000 amos is going to be considered his area of travel for Shabbos. Umishtatfim, Rashi continues, b'mavui. When you want to join the different chatzeros, also in order that I can carry in the Mavui and not consider it a rabbinically legislated public area because so many people are going here. We want to join all those people and we do it by virtue of food. So says the Mishnah, Bakol Ma'arvin u'mishtatvin. When you want to cause these ramifications based on food, you could use any type of food. Chutz min hamayim u'min hamelach, except for water and salt. Continues the Mishnah, we'll add in one more line, Ve'akol nikach bekesef meiser, and when you want to purchase something with the money of meiser, there was a specific tithe that could be transferred into money, and when you get to Yerushalayim and you're going to buy with it different items, you could buy any types, chutz min hamayim u'min hamelach, except for water and salt. Okay? Water and salt, for whatever reason, are not considered real foods. They're not things that a person designates his sustenance, his mizonos, upon. Obviously, a person needs water and salt, but these are not items that you could do these ramifications with. Let's move on to today's daf, on the top line at the end of the line. Amar Rabbi Yechanan said, Ein lemeidim min haklalos. You can't learn from a general rule. In other words, if the Mishnah says, the rule is, and gives you a general rule, you can't learn by inferring from that rule definitively. There might be other source material that you have to bring to the table. You can't consider that a definitive rule. Afilu b'makom shenema b'chutz. Even if it says everything works except for, and it lists a certain number of items, you still can't consider that list of Mishnah exclusive. As much as we infer things from source material, Rabbi Yechanan said the pattern by klalos and exceptions, rules and their exceptions, is not definitive. Asks the Gemara, so why are we saying this here? Because the Mishnah told us any food item can be used except for water and salt. And we're being told, apparently, from the Gemara, that it's not an exclusive list. There might actually be other things that you can't use. Even though it says, except for, and it only lists two items, there might actually be other things that you can't use. Third line of the Gemara, Midika Omar afilu b'makom shenema b'chutz, since it says, even in a place where it says exception, mechlal delav ha-chakoy, apparently Rabbi Yechon wasn't talking in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is a case where it says chutz, except for. And when he says, I'm telling you that you can't follow the rule, even in a place where it says chutz, so apparently he was talking in a different Mishnah, not our Mishnah. Hey Chakoi, what Mishnah was he talking about that does not have the word chutz? And therefore Rabbi Yechanan says, I'm saying it on this Mishnah, and I would say it even in a Mishnah that says chutz. Hasam Koi. Here's the case. Kol mitzvah saseh shehazman groma, any mitzvah that's a positive commandment that's caused by time. Anoshim chayovim, men are obligated, v'noshim peturos, and women are potter, absolved. V'shelo hazman groma, and if it's not time-oriented, echad noshim ve'echad anoshim chayovim, women and men are equally obligated. And the Gemara explains, u'klalohu, you're going to tell me that's a real rule? T'chol mitzvah saseh shehazman groma noshim peturos, whenever it's time-oriented and it's a positive commandment, women are absolved. Hare matzah is a positive command, and it's time-oriented. It only comes at the time of Pesach, and women are obligated. Whatever the reason is that they're obligated, because they also left Mitzrayim, whatever the reason is, but you see, it's not a rule. Simcha, the mitzvah to be joyous on the holiday, women are equally included. V'hakel, that famous gathering at the end of Shemitah year, when all men, women and children had to come. So, mitzvah saseh shehazman groma, it's time-oriented, very oriented to time, it's a specific time, it doesn't happen every day, doesn't happen ongoing. V'nashim chayavos, and women are obligated. V'chom mitzvah saseh shelo hazman groma, and equally, we would question, you're telling me mitzvah saseh that are not time-oriented, nashim chayavos, women are obligated. I'll give you examples that that's not true. Hare Talmud Torah. Torah is ongoing all the time, and women are not obligated. They have to learn the laws that apply to them. They have to learn enough so that they have a appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God, but there's no intrinsic rule that they're supposed to learn Torah for its sake alone, the way a man does. Piriya v'rivya, to have children. Women are exempt from that obligation. Some say the reason is fascinating. They're exempt because you can't obligate, however you word this, you can't, Hashem could do anything he wants, but it would be improper, some say, to obligate a woman in having children because of the enormous pain that childbirth involves. And those commentaries understand it, that a woman has to go into that voluntarily. You don't obligate her to do that. But whatever the reason is, it's based on psukim, piriya v'rivya, they're not obligated to have children, even though it's not time-oriented. Upidyan ha-ben, to redeem the firstborn, their child. Mitzvah saseh shelo hazman groma v'nashim peturos. it's a positive command that's not time-oriented, and women are not obligated. So you see that as much as the rule exists, it's not definitive. Elo amar Rabbi Yechanan, ein lemeida min haklalos. You can't learn from a general rule. A general rule helps you, but you still have to pay attention to its exceptions. Afilu b'malkum sh'nemar b'chutz. Even if the Mishnah says, except, you're still going to have exceptions, possibly. Good. I have someone here in shul who complains when he learns Shulchan Aruch, so he learns Shulchan Aruch, and then I tell him, yeah, but you have to look at Mishnah Berurah, there's an exception. He says, it's not fair! You know, I learned the Shulchan Aruch and I thought I was done. And then after you're done with Mishnah Berurah, then you have to... It doesn't work like that, Rabbi Yechanan's teaching us. I'm glad you learned what you learned. It's the first step, but there are going to be exceptions. Drop down just below, midway on the page. The first words on the line are Bo Chutz. Amar Ravina. Ravina said, V'itim Rav Nachman, Afana Nami Tinyana. We also encountered this concept because it says, Bakol Ma'arvin U'mishtatfin. You always can do Eruv and Shituf, the way our Mishnah described, to do joining things based on food. Chutz min amayim v'hamelach, except for water and salt. And the Gemara asks, v'su leka, and that's it. V'ayiki k'meirim pitriyas, there's a case of mushrooms that you can't use either. Raw mushrooms. You can't learn from rules. Even if it says chutz, there's still more to learn. Let me show you one fascinating thing which really illustrates that there's always more to learn. The Mishnah Berurah writes that the Vilna Gaon holds that you could use mushrooms, particularly if they're cooked. Even though the Gemara here seems to indicate that mushrooms are out for mishtatvim, for the cases of Eruv. If you'll take a look in the Gemara, you'll see a little aleph in brackets after the word v'hamelach. If you go down to the bottom right of the page, you'll see hagos hagra. The Gra writes, Nichtav Bitsido, that's the Nun Beis, V'chulu, a simple little addition. The Gra holds that this question was not regarding Eruv, but rather regarding the second case of the Mishnah which we read, the case of Meiser, tithing, whether you're allowed to tithe, whether you're allowed to transfer the tithe money into water and salt. And he holds that it's not going on the case of mushrooms. Case of mushrooms, he holds, is not excluded. And you have a fascinating machlokas here based on a little, whether it's supposed to be v'chulu or not. But the way the Mishnah Berurah presents it, you should be aware, also a fascinating addition.
That's another hagra, yeah?
Hagos hagra on the very bottom.
What is it? So
bottom right.
That's aleph or beis?
Aleph.
Aleph. So what are the two? That's a nun beis? That's nun beis? What is
Nichtav Bitsido.
What is it again?
Nichtav Bitsido. Nun Beis means Nichtav Bitsido. It was written on the side, meaning it was a little editing note. V'chulu, etc. Etc.
I understand. Nichtav, who wrote it on the side?
The Gra wrote it on the side of his Gemara.
Ah, this is taking, this, Hanachas Gra is taking what the Vilna Gaon
edited on the side of his Gemara.
He found his Gemara.
And he writes that it's supposed to be...
On his Gemara,
yes.
When it came to this,
they printed it...
He wrote the words...
As a footnote.
That these specific words, correct?
Yes.
Meaning,
v'chulu, etc. Because it's not going on the first case, which is the case of Eruvin. It's going on the second case of the Mishnah, which is the case of Meiser.
How did they know that? He's talking about mushrooms.
The Gemara tells you that mushrooms are an additional exception besides water and salt.
And what does the Vilna Gaon say?
And the Vilna Gaon says that when that correction was made by the Gemara to the Mishnah, It wasn't going on the first case of the Mishnah.
Which was
Eruv.
Yeah.
He adds the word V'chulu.
Meaning?
Which tells you that it's going on the second case of the Mishnah.
Which
that
is now going to be?
Meiser.
Interesting.
The Vilna Gaon in Shulchan Aruch elaborates.
Right.
And the Haggah, Rav Runchberg, over here also elaborates, which is the bottom left.
Yeah.
Over here. And this is one example. I'm just illustrating how one little v'chulu, etc.,
right,
to the discerning reader,
right,
who's willing to do his research,
right,
tells you that there's a whole world that's opening over here.
Interesting. Okay.
Good?
Good.
Mishnah Berurah makes two comments here. One he says is that the mushrooms, you have to keep track of the Vilna Gaon's opinion, whether mushrooms are considered sustenance or not.
Yeah.
And the second thing that's pointed out is that water and salt separately, you can't do Eruv. But right, if you mix the water with the salt, then you have a dip. And a dip would work. Yeshikor.